Let's start broader here before we get into the precious metal space. The rally in the equity market seems a bit tired, as Brian pointed out earlier. I mean, do you see that filtering through into other, at least cross asset from here on?
Yeah, so we do see that as a potential risk on the downside. And we're certain to see the VIX is a measure of U.S. equity volatility at record lows. And potentially, you know, we haven't seen a sustained pullback really since 2015. And even then, that was a very short-lived pullback and rally. So we do see the potential of further downside risk or a correction as sort of the Trump trade begins to falter and expectations of potential delays on some of his policies and from his administration may begin to weigh on investor patience.
So the problem, I guess, from gold's standpoint is that if we're moving into a little bit of a slower economic period here, rather than the, you know, the heady gains that we thought we were going to get with Trump and global reflation, so people would want yield. Gold doesn't really have it. But what about the miners? Is there value there, or are they kind of expensive?
So where we see that is certainly the miners were rewarded last year from paying down a lot of their debt and really expanding their margins on the fact that they're focused on cost cutting as well as reducing capital expenditures. So basically looking to sell their long-term profitability for short-term gains. And where we see them is much more in line with equities and they move along with equity risk. And from my perspective, one of the main reasons you'd look towards physically investing in physical gold is really from that risk management hedging perspective, which really doesn't seem to be provided that downside protection if you're holding miners because you're essentially looking at equity volatility.
What's driving gold at the moment? And the reason I ask you that, I mean, gold is one of those assets where you can come up with a narrative that essentially supports why you would buy it. When it's inflation's high, then we say it's an inflation hedge. When, you know, the risk, you know, when things start kicking off geopolitically, then we go, it's a hedge against, you know, all these risks. At the moment, though, what do you think is that narrative for gold?
So in my view, the key driver for gold, and it has been for, you know, the case for multiple decades, is that gold acts much more in line with real interest rates. And where we're seeing real interest rates in the market, if you look at the two-year on a five-year basis, real interest rates are negative. And so from that perspective, we're seeing expensive equities, expensive fixed income, and investors are looking for solutions for potentially diversification. And from that perspective, we do see the benefit of holding gold as a hedge against negative real rates, rising inflation, as well as from the potential, you know, political and geopolitical volatility, which we're persisting to see. So from that perspective, gold acts like a multidimensional or robust hedge against all those factors that you mentioned. But first and foremost, you know, we do see it as helping preserve spending power over time and combating against negative real interest rates, which we'll likely see persist in the future.
Actually, Maxwell, I just want to sneak this in since you mentioned geopolitical risk. We now have confirmation from South Korea Joint Chief there that North Korea did, in fact, fire a ballistic missile in the last half hour or so.
Yeah, does that give a bid to gold? I'm not seeing it at the moment, but should it?
So where we see trading activity for gold's volatility is usually more in line if it's tied to systemic risk. Right now, I think it's too soon to tell about if we will see a big jump from that activity out in Asia. But overall, when we do see volatility and systemic risk and how it impacts financial markets, that's typically when gold comes into play. You know, it does have a negative correlation to equity volatility. So when we do see a pullback in equity markets, responsive more towards seeing the benefit in gold. Additionally, you know, we've seen a lot of activity, sort of the sell the rumor, buy the news behavior with gold in the U.S. tightening cycle so far, which began back in 2015. And from that perspective, we are seeing more dovish sentiment coming out of certain Fed officials, and we expect that to be a continued boon for gold, particularly in the first half of this year, where we likely see it trading up to 1,300 before potentially coming back to current ranges, driven by further tightening in the second half of the year and stronger dollar.
Okay, let me paint a scenario that's maybe not so great for gold, and that is that inflation doesn't really pick up, but the Fed is kind of hell-bent on normalization, so it finds a few different reasons to raise interest rates, thus the dollar moves higher. If that happens, that could hurt gold, and gold might be a loser in that kind of scenario. How do you counter that?
So if we do see the Fed act and tighten its interest rates much quicker than anticipated or how it is being priced in the markets, that certainly would weigh on gold. And we see that as part of our bear scenario where we could see it potentially go back to closer to 1,100. On the flip side, if we do see the Fed become a little bit more reactive and less proactive as it seems how they want to handle their tightening policy, that could be a benefit to gold, you know, getting up close to 1,375, 1,400 with rising inflation. So overall, you know, certainly the pace and the and the commentary coming out of the Fed is going to be very critical for gold as it's tied closely with monetary policy.
Maxwell, very quickly, 20, 30 seconds, gold or silver? I'm looking at the gold-silver cross. We went from about 32 in 2011 up to about over 80. We're back to about 68 on that, I guess, ratio, if you will. What's compelling for you?
Well, I see more further upside, and I'm more constructive of silver this year, certainly given the fact that it's tied much more towards the industrial production cycle. We saw yesterday, you know, still strong elevated PMIs in the U.S., as well as increased industrial activity and trade so far this year, and I think that should be a boon for silver, which does have a correlation to gold, but certainly is going to move much more in line with producer inflation and consumer inflation, which we expect this year.